your sugar right here. That's the kind of sugar blah, blah, blah likes.
That used to be one of my sound bites way back when.
Oh, you know, and I came in here too late. We weren't able to... I wasn't able to pull off this joke that we were gonna execute. All right, can you just turn this down for a second? All right, just, all right, let's we'll all pretend that didn't... Thank you.
Oh.
See?
The songs everyone loves to sing along with.
I was so glad we had this yesterday. I went, I happen to have this on my MP3 player. And as soon as we went off the air yesterday, as soon as we discovered it, and we'll talk about all that here in just a few minutes, we'll recap of yesterday. I ran back to my desk. I went, not worried about the transmitter, not worried about whether there's a fire up on the hill, not worried about whether we're missing paid commercial announcements that we'll have to make up later. No, I'm running back to my desk, knocking people out of my way, spilling my coffee, throwing open doors, looking for Creedence Clearwater Revival so I can play this song so I can frustrate listeners. That's my priorities, like. All right, we can go back to the there you go. Thank you. Thank you. I'll be here all day, I think. It's a Rick Emerson Show, live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS radio family. Thank you for coming along. It is the Rick Emerson Show, 1 minute 38 seconds after the hour 12, and this, the month of March, in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for making it part of your listening day. If you want to get on board today via the phone, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Here we are broadcasting from beautiful downtown Portland. So today, and I'm going to jump right into it today. I'm not going to give any pithy introduction. Today, coming up later on, we're going to be talking, believe it or not, about Basic Instinct 2.
Which just sounds very exciting.
Oh, you know, and here's the thing. And I'm not going to get sidetracked right now, so I'm going to hold myself to like one sentence about each of these sort of little guarantees that I'm doing. And the one sentence is, that movie looks so unbelievably bad that I may have to go see it. I mean, it looks showgirls bad. Without Esterhaas, even. Even with no Joe Esterhaas, they could pull it off.
It should have been a straight-to-lifetime movie.
Well, she's all leathery and... whatnot.
Crocodile-y.
She's got not enough Neutrogena in the world.
Maybe softer lights.
Scale be gone. So we'll talk to Scott Dowley about pointless sequels and Basic Instinct 2. Basic Instinct, wasn't that movie like 24 years ago? Jesus. So we'll do that. We never got to yesterday's It's the Word. Well, we got to a whole bunch of stuff. Maybe that was one, I don't know, something that nobody ever heard except for us. We were off the air. So we'll talk about that. I've got a story featuring the words Liza Minnelli and sex. We'll talk about Sportfi. One of the Sportfi guys, listen to this now. One of the Sportfi guys, one of the guys who was all wanting to be part of it, has sissied out. And he has sent me a long letter explicating his sissydom.
Is this a city dweller or a country dweller?
I'm not going to talk. There are no country dwellers. Well, I guess there are battlegrounds kind of the country. I'm not saying it's a battleground guy, though. It's one of the guys who wanted to be down with the city versus suburbs fight.
Yeah.
He has sent along a letter in which he brings shame on his entire family. We have Halo news. Geek Watch. We'll do that to the top five AC/DC songs you'll never hear. What else? What else? Oh, the news pile. We never got the armless news either, and the hygiene gone bad. Plus, Sarah went to a Black Eyed Peas party last night. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. Yeah. Let's see. What else? Well, that's kind of... I don't want to tease anything more, because we're not going to get to it. Except to say this, that Jessica, who is the woman who provided me this chair. This chair here, and I'm not supposed to say where she works, because I think she stole it from her office, and I don't think they know that it's gone. And she does work for the government, so I'm not really sure that she can be fired in any way. But she did sort of steal this chair from me. And I asked her, I'm like, well, do you want to pay for this? Do you want anything in return? Would you like Tim Riley's autograph? Anything? And she said, no, I just want you to play... I just want you to play the Three Little Pigs song. That was her only request. Is that I resuscitate and play the Three Little Pigs song. Which, believe you me, I don't want to do. But we'll try to... But I am a man of my word. And I know it's like 12 days late.
Are you going to play it? Is that what you said?
Well, later today. Well, sometime today we got to play the Three Little Pigs song, which I don't want to do. Only for my listeners do I do this. Only for a woman who provides me a chair do I play Three Little Pigs. So we'll do that. We're joined today, as are we always, mostly, by the lovely Sarah X. Dillon, who's sitting at the control board keeping things running today as only she can. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Now, are you really doing well?
Sure.
What time do you normally get up to go to work?
Four.
Red-eyed and bushy tail.
What time did you get up to go to work today?
Five.
Yeah. if I'd been watching your coin news appearances this morning, would they have been flawless?
I do better under pressure.
Can anybody tell when you're drunk on the air? Let me ask you this.
I wasn't drunk
on the air. I'm not saying you were drunk, but when you're drunk...
I am not...
Not Rick. Now. It was hours later. You're not drunk now.
I was never drunk.
I think everyone else on there would do much better in the ratings if they weren't.
Sam just says this stuff because he knows I can't say anything.
Our coin, are they above us or below us in the building?
They're not way
in,
below us.
Yeah.
No, they're like, in the dungeon.
We're like four floors below in the basement.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, you know, so it'd take them a while to get up here. But, so...
All the plumbing runs down there.
in a five-day week, on how many of those mornings would you say that your body is still metabolizing alcohol?
None. I take my work very seriously, Rick Emerson.
No, really.
I don't know.
One? Five?
Like one.
Okay. So do you think the audience, the viewers at home, when they're watching the fine coin news broadcast in the morning, can they tell those mornings when you are playing through the pain?
I don't think
so. Is it spottable, do you think, to the average person?
No, I think I've been doing this long enough that I can...
You're a functional addict?
What?
Well, I'm just saying, it's like we've all worked with that guy who's had like a methadone problem, but you didn't know. You know, occasionally you come out of
I usually get to bed at a decent hour. It just so happened last night I was out a little later than usual.
Because you hit like three parties in a row last night. We had to do a whole like, remember those things I used to do, like who's at the Playboy Mansion this month?
Yeah.
And like the black and white spread of like Scott Baio posing with a playmate or whatever, you know, it's like, here's Buddy Ebsen. And it's, you know, we should do a whole thing on the website about like, where is Sarah Dillon this month? And like a picture of you at various night spots and parties. Just
At least she's part of the community. You don't see Jeff Granola out there partying every night, do you?
Or me.
Black Eyed Peas.
Or any of us.
Or anyone who's posted on the side of a MAX train.
There's a big, scary square heads on the side of the train. All right. No, it's, you know what I'm talking about. Big, big balloony TV heads.
It was nice working there.
No, I'm sure they're fine people. I mean, I wouldn't know. I've never watched them. But I'm sure they're fine people.
We can't find the stairway to get down there.
They're not allowed to leave. All right, here's Tim Riley. I gotta stop now. Here's Tim Riley working on the following news stories today.
The Pentagon has banned the use of any body armor not issued by the Army to the soldiers in Iraq. Courtney Love reportedly sells 25% of the Nirvana song. A 457-pound woman will finally be cremated.
Note to self, make that a corpse watch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
From Hillsborough comes word of three men in the hospital after crashing into a truck carrying hot tar and suffering from burns after being pinned in their car by it.
All right, is that it? Those are all the things you're teasing?
Well, I could keep going.
No, please don't.
Okay.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. All right, so... Let me ask you this, because Sarah's just answering a phone call. Of the phone calls you take during the air, what percentage would you say are men who are stalking you in some low-grade fashion?
Oh, none of them.
She says with a little nervous twitch.
No, really.
Okay.
No, like I was just giving me... If Sarah Dillon wants to drink at a good place, you should tell her about this bar.
Oh, I see. See, you are everybody's bar. Everybody's got a bar suggestion for you, right? It's like you are the woman that everybody's got a bar suggestion for. I am the guy. Everybody, I am... And I'm not complaining about this. I am the guy... Everybody's got like a buddy who's in a band that like has never played anywhere, and they recorded like a 3-song demo straight into like a Radio Shack tape recorder, like in a basement somewhere at 4 a.m. when they were all high. But it's like a great song, and you got to hear it because they'd be perfect for the next listener party. That's what I get.
And since that didn't work out, can you get me a job at KNRK?
I get those too.
I get them a lot.
I got
more of them this summer with people not knowing I'm not working over there.
They think you still have pull over. Jim, can you get me a job at KGON? I couldn't get me a job at KGON, and I tried. I couldn't get a job at KGON, and I had someone at KGON that was trying to hire me.
None of us are old enough to work over there anyway.
Tim's on fire today.
Making friends all over the place. The Rick Emerson Show. And you like, you wouldn't work with that name anyway. You'd have to change your name to like Tim the Terrible or Nothing really. Your name doesn't rhyme with anything like party does. Tim. Tim, Zim, Fim.
Zippy Stardust.
Tim Halen. Tim Halen.
I like that.
There you go. That's what we call you. There you go. Tim Halen,
ladies
and gentlemen.
I like to redo my resume.
And then your name would just be like Sarah Steele with an E on the end. That's what you call yourself.
Sarah S.
Yeah. All right. And I'd be Rock Taylor, of course. There you go. We make a fantastic morning show. Note to KGON. It's still salvageable. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Speaking of still salvageable, well, let's do this. We'll go to the city desk, and we'll recap yesterday when we went off the air. Ladies and gentlemen, at the city desk, it's your personal savior, Tim Riley. Sarah Steele.
From higher down to the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting. Three men are in the hospital after their car crashed into a truck carrying hot tar today in Hillsboro. Police say the men who were riding in a Toyota Corolla ran a stop sign on Jackson School Road near Hillsboro. They slammed into the side of the truck, spilling hot tar all over their car. The tar burned all three men, and two of them were pinned in the car. A crane truck, which happened to be passing by, lifted the tar truck off the Toyota and helped free the men. None of the injuries are life-threatening.
If this was a cartoon, though, this would be the thing where they hit the truck full of tar and then, like, the feather truck falls on them and then a big truck carrying nothing but iodized salt comes by and rams right into them.
Yep, it's like a Roadrunner type.
Yes, exactly.
Say, here's some good news. The use of mobile phones over a long period of time can raise the risk of brain tumors.
Fantastic.
That, according to a new study. Let's see, last year they found no evidence that radiation from mobile phones and TV towers are harmful. A four-year British survey released in January showed no links between regular long-term use of cell phones and the most common type of tumor. However,
wasn't this a thing where, like, phones were, they were harmful 10 years ago, but then last year they were fine, and then now they're going to kill you again?
And last year coffee was bad, but this year it's good.
Okay.
Apparently, the new study shows, it looked at the mobile phone use of 905 people between the ages of 20 and 80 who have been diagnosed with a malignant brain tumor and found a link. And of all 85 of these 905 cases, there were high users of mobile phones.
Well, what does a high user of a mobile phone mean? How is that like? Because I know Roger Ebert to this day, I know that he claims that's why Siskel's dead.
Okay, heavy usage is 2,000 hours or more in their life.
Well, in your life, but but that seems like circular logic because your life, because if you get a tumor, your life is going to be shorter.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Well, of course it's going to kill you. Everything's going to kill you. It's like this. I was going to talk about this earlier, I'll give this, where was it? Because it's actually out of date now, but this stupid thing in the Portland Tribune, this, fluoride foes get validation, you know, Portlanders do we not fluoridate here? Anywhere?
I'm not sure.
I'm unclear about, and believe me, please, I don't, you in the tinfoil hat, I don't want to have a whole conversation about fluoride. But there's this whole thing about Portlanders four times have voted down fluoridation of their water, and now a National Academy of Sciences report helps them validate their reluctance. And fluoridate, don't fluoridate, whatever. My whole thing is, the fluoride people are like, it's going to kill you and give you, well, of course it's going to kill you and give you cancer. Look, here's the thing. You're gonna get cancer, alright? Everybody does.
And die.
Yeah, you will die. You will die in a slow and horrible fashion. It's gonna happen. You're not gonna avoid it. Your thyroid's gonna explode, your butt's gonna fall off, your face is gonna be eaten by weevils.
Unless you drink lots of coffee. Black.
Something's gonna happen, and you're gonna spend the last 15 years of your life going, in a hospital bed somewhere. My thing is, you might as well have a good smile when you're doing it. So if fluoride doesn't kill you, you know, cancer and garbage disposals will all get us in the end, so you might as well just roll with it. All I know is that when I moved from a fluoridating community to a non-fluoridating community, I was at the dentist, and I opened my mouth, and he's like, you're not from here. And I said, why? And he goes, you have perfect teeth. It's because you go to a place where they don't fluoride, and everybody's teeth are like, they're like weird muddled toothpicks. So you don't want to be that. It's like, you've got the best teeth I've ever seen because you've got military teeth, right?
I do.
Because you have like 9 different layers of fluoride they probably jacked into your teeth.
Yeah, I've never had a cavity.
That's what I'm saying. So you're going to die. You don't want to look like a meth addict when you do it. So,
time for the battle watch.
Here's your battle watch for Friday.
I want you to remember that no bastard ever won war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
Just 6 months after the Pentagon agreed to reimburse soldiers who bought their own protective gear, the Army has banned the use of any body armor that is not issued by the military. In a new directive, effective immediately,
way to go.
The Army says it cannot guarantee the quality and of commercially bought armor, and any soldier wearing it will have to turn it in. Any soldier wearing it will have to turn it in and have it replaced by authorized gear.
But I don't... Okay, whatever.
Well...
Doesn't it seem like anybody... I don't care if it's made out of balsa. I don't care if it's made out of the yellow pages. Doesn't it seem like it's going to be better than not having it?
Well, this is prompted by concerns that soldiers or their families are buying inadequate and untested commercial armor for private companies, including the popular dragon skin gear made by California-based Pinnacle Army. We're very concerned about this, said the the military.
Okay. I have no response. I have nothing I could say about that.
Early in the war, soldiers and their families were spending hundreds or even thousands of dollars on protective gear that they say the military was not providing. Body armor generally includes armor and ceramic plates that cover the front, back, and sides of a soldier's torso. Last month, after months of pressure from families and members of Congress, the military began a reimbursement program for soldiers who purchased their own protective equipment.
All right, so what is it called? Dragon skin?
Dragon skin.
This has got to be something made for, like, for Society for Creative Anachronism.
Well, Dragon skin said they spent $840,000 in research to develop the improved armor.
Well, okay. Well, whatever. Fine. I mean, that doesn't matter to me. I'm not in Iraq, but it seems a little ill-conceived. All right, let's go to our sound here.
Well, a top military commander in Iraq said the people there are becoming more and more involved in their own security. Army Major General James Thurman said the Iraqi people are stepping up for their own safety, but indicates there are pockets of violence that must be brought under control.
America is a land of immigrants, and people ought to be treated with respect. And this debate ought to be a debate that does not pit neighbors.
What are we?
Number four. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Thurman?
Thurman, yes.
I think it is a concern to deal with militias, and I've stated that, I believe. But I don't see that as a situation that's completely out of control in Baghdad. I just don't see it.
That's because he's in a bunker. Army Major General James Thurman says the source of violence, either from organized militias or individuals loyal to the old regime, must be brought under control.
Would it be a terrorist event or whether it be criminal activity? It doesn't matter. It's still violence, and it's got to be corrected.
Okay. Well, you get on that. All right, whatever they say.
Battle Watch.
Yeah. Americans play to win all the time. Americans love a winner. Now we have the best spirit and the best men in the world. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war.
Rick, you should have that one guy who videotapes the radio while listening to the show posted on YouTube so we can all watch his radio with him every day. This is the best idea ever. It really is the best idea ever, by the way. There should just be a whole segment on the show about stuff that's going to be fantastic for any listeners who are high. And that'll be the lead-off feature. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, the rumors that Courtney Love was going to sell the rights to the Nirvana songs have come true. Rolling Stone reports Love sold 25% of the publishing catalog to Larry Mestel of Primary Wave Music Publishing. Mestel is also the former chief operating officer of Virgin Records. Neither Love nor Mestel will name the dollar figure, but a source close to the deal said Mestel likely paid more than $50 million for the rights. Why, that's plenty of dregs for Courtney.
Yeah, so have you seen that picture of her at the... Is it some fashion show of her sitting next to Frances Bean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, Frances, how old is she? 13? 14?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Well, when did Cobain die? 94? And she was like 1 or 2 or something? He died in 94 because I was not in Utah yet. Because I was in Spokane. I was cleaning up my car. And then she was like a year and a half. So she's got to be like 13 or 14. Anyway, but it's creepy, man, because she looks so much like him. And there's that picture of her sitting next to Courtney, and Courtney looks as she always does, as though her face is sliding off. It's like she kind of looks like her face is sort of made out of like that rubbery chicken material, and she's sort of losing control of it. Her mouth is sort of, it's always slack, as though all the strings that control her movements are broken. And so like, Like one of her lips is going in one direction and the other lip is going in like another direction and her hair is sticking straight up and she's got the big scary Joker makeup. And then her daughter, Frances Bean, is next to her, who looks, I guess she's normal looking. She's just weird because she looks so much like Kurt Cobain. So, all right. And the other guys in Nirvana own all the rest of it, right?
Well, the sale won't result in the song Smells Like Teen Spirit, which ended up as a deodorant commercial. Both Love and Mastel said they're going to remain tasteful and stay true to Cobain.
Yes.
You think of tasteful. Well, as it turns out, Joey may be the least of Matt LeBlanc's worries. The sitcom star and his wife announced the end of their nearly three-year marriage.
Shouldn't have seen that coming.
The news comes 3 months after the couple's two-year-old daughter was said to be undergoing tests for a neurological disorder.
Here's how this always works. You can always spot this. This is how these trends in Hollywood work. The divorce happens either A, when a guy who is only moderately successful becomes vastly, wildly successful, mm-hmm. or the divorce happens after a guy who was wildly successful becomes wildly unsuccessful. Because that's it. And I always think about this. I always think about those couples where it's the two superstars, like the Faith Hill and Tim McGraw syndrome. And I always figure that, do you ever think about that? Do you ever wonder about, like, the weird professional rivalry that there's got to be in, like, a Tim McGraw, Faith Hill? It's not like I'm a big fan of either guy, but I think about it all the time. Because you got to figure that if she, like, if Faith Hill... And I don't know if she's more successful than he is, but you got to figure that it's a weird sensation if you're married to a woman who's outselling you and who's outperforming you and all of that. And that's got to add stress to your marriage.
Well, like Ryan Phillippe and Reese Witherspoon,
completely.
Too.
Like, what's the last thing he did?
Gosh.
I can't even remember the last time.
Oh, that terrible British movie
yeah, I can't remember the name of it.
Gosford Park.
Yes.
I couldn't watch the whole thing.
That was the Altman film, right?
Yeah.
And it was a lot of guys sitting around his table going, well, then...
Those right? people just yeah. never stop talking.
It's an all.
Had to take it out of the machine and bring it back.
No, I renounced this film. It's an Altman film though. So you got to say that you like it. You got to be like, oh, I found it to be an enriching, deep.
Nobody took a breath through the entire thing or ended at a sentence.
Study. No, it's like so much of that crap from the 70s that you have to pretend that you like. I remember sitting there watching, and Altman, because he's still of that 70s school, I remember you see so many of those. I rented this Terrence Malick film. I rented Badlands. Because I'd heard so much about it. Martin Sheen, Sissy Spacek, it's based on Charlie Star. I remember, and you hear it, like the Kim Morgans of the world, they're always going on about how great it is. And I sat there, and it was like slowly sawing through my bones. It was like I was sitting there just pulling fish hooks out of my intestines. It was the worst thing. But you feel compelled to go, no, I found it to be... It's one of the... Like, Altman movies are like... They're like all of those... well, not all, but they're like many of those... Like, what was that Gus Van Sant film what was that Columbine thing he made? Was it Elephant?
Yeah, I think so. Never saw it,
though. Kids wandering around and showering together, and then they shoot each other or something. It was just, it's like the worst thing I've ever seen. And it was like not even, it was like watching, it was like reading someone else's description of paint that they once watched dry, like many, many years ago in another house. You know, but then you read the Willamette, it's like a deliberately unfolding narrative.
You're not allowed to say anything bad in the Willamette about Portland people.
No, of course not. Well, let's break here. Let's do that, shall we?
Let's do that.
Let's break. Here's what's coming up. What is coming up? I am looking here. Here's what's coming up. CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy is going to join us. It's like a year since, I didn't know this, it's a year since Terry Schiavo died. Time flies when you're just sleeping till 2 p.m. hoping that you wake up to a message that you've been employed somewhere.
The book is out, and I guess the family's on Larry King.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see, later on, Gary Baumgarten's going to talk about Naomi Campbell hitting someone with a phone. That'll be good. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com if you want to be on. Later on, we got this Liza Minnelli sex story. And I don't like saying that any more than, you know,
Nobody wants to think about it.
Nope. But thanks to this show, though. No one wanted to think about a box full of fetuses yesterday. But that's what I'm here for. So we've also got this AC/DC top five we're going to get through. We haven't talked about how the station went off the air yesterday. We haven't talked about Sarah making the rounds at like three different parties last night. It's all very confusing. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from CNN Radio in Atlanta, our good friend Ed McCarthy. How are you, sir?
Hey, Rick, happy Friday to you. We made it, huh?
Thank you. Thank you, my friend. How are things done? Let me, I know that this veers dangerously towards, you know, like, something that you would probably hear on, you know, I know you have a station down there where every phone call begins with, you know, how's the weather where you are? But I don't know anything about the South, and I always wonder, in my mind, the South is constantly, it's like Cambodia. It's like 110 degrees and mosquitoes covering you and your clothes sticking to you with your own sweat. Is that true?
We're hoping for that now. We're getting some warm weather for a change.
Does it ever snow in Atlanta?
Yeah, we get some.
In Atlanta?
Yeah, the northeast section of town, sometimes we get it. Sometimes we'll get a couple inches a year.
But, see, because
this year we got nothing.
In my mind's eye, you're wearing one of those like short sleeve white shirts from the 50s, and you're in an office where you have that uncovered fan with the little paper strips on it, and it's blowing back and forth, and you're just being attacked by tsetse flies. That's just kind of how it works in my head. Because I don't know anything about geography because I'm a product of American public schools and therefore largely uninformed about such things.
That's it. Right now I'm outside enjoying it. It's nice.
Excellent. Hey, so speaking of things that no one enjoys, this is, I see that a year has gone by since this, God, it doesn't even seem like that, since the Terri Schiavo thing. Is it a year since she finally and officially was declared dead? Is that what the year anniversary is?
It is, and I was down there just prior to that, and Gary Baumgarten took over the duty and went down there while he was on the death watch. I don't mean to sound cruel, but that's exactly what it was. As all the media members were hanging outside of the hospice that was at Pinellas Park, Florida, and I was down there watching these demonstrators every day that were out there and holding vigils, and it was it really turned out to be a circus through the whole thing.
I was just, and again, you really don't need to worry that you're going to offend us at any time with anything you say. That's a pretty high bar. That we've sent.
It's always good to know, Rick.
So,
but I offend people at work, so I don't want to offend people on your show.
No, my friend, we're Kevlar coated here. So there's a year later, and so probably the predictable media whoring by both sides of the family has begun, and they're out there, they're probably making the rounds. Are they both? I would imagine both sides of the family are pushing books at this point.
They are pushing books. Mary Schindler, the mother and the family there, that side of the whole issue, they've been pushing books, and they're talking about getting people refocused on education, about end-of-life decisions. You've got Michael Schiavo, and they really villainized this guy, and he's put out a book, not apologizing for anything, but he did say that he decided at the last minute to give up the fight to remove Terri Schiavo's feeding tube, but he goes through the whole litany of what went on. I mean, they were actually accusing him of abuse, and an autopsy exonerated him on that. I mean, he went through a lot.
Well, and then that thing where they were, the thing where they were trying to claim that he was knocking her around or whatever, and that was the nutcase right wing was trying to make it seem that he'd like kicked her off a stool or something, and that's how this happened and everything. Exactly. I hate to phrase it this way, but I mean, this is like a she brought it on herself thing, right? Because she was anorexic. And
that is what the whole thing started from, apparently, and she went into this state and this vegetative state, and of course, you know, the rest is history with the eating tube and everything, and Congress involved, and the whole thing was just amazing. I think the thing that's amazing is that after she died, it all settled down for a long time. You're hearing about it now because it's the one-year anniversary. It's kind of resurrected again. But you haven't heard a lot every day or every week about this.
Well, because these things are like a bubble, and in every sense, where they build and they build and they build. But as soon as it's gone, it's like 30 seconds after the last protest is gone, the media is gone, and like they fold up their tent and they steal away like gypsies into the night, you know?
Once the satellite trucks are there, you wouldn't believe the crowds. They used to just file in, and I used to watch this. They would be coming in the town, you know, they'd hear about the story.
Disconnecting his phone.
In Pinellas Park, Florida, so I'm gonna swing by and see what's going on.
All right. Hey, real quickly, I know you're having some little wackiness with your phone here, but the reason I'm curious about this is because, and I've told people this before, that the Terri Schiavo thing, before it all came to a boil last year, I mean, she'd basically been laying around, like his fight had been going on for years and years and years with this, and it actually is one of the reasons that I ended up getting married, because I didn't want, because my, you know, my in-laws are, how do I put this, my in-laws are, they're They're common people. They're people of faith. And I didn't want them making any decisions for my then girlfriend. But it seems like it doesn't really matter. Like if there's some guy somewhere who's just deciding to keep you on a tube for the rest of your life, that there's not a whole lot you can do about it.
Well, they have the living will thing now, and that's really been interesting, because so many hits have been on this U.S. living will registry on the internet.
Right.
10,000 last year, up to 40,000 now, and during the height of the Schiavo thing, 50,000 hits a day. So, you know, a lot of people are worried about that, and, you know, the whole thing, allegedly her saying, not, you know, making her wishes known verbally, and if people do that, and there are witnesses, or you get it on paper, you know, you don't have to go through this whole rigmarole.
All right. Ed McCarthy in Atlanta, thank you, sir.
Have a great weekend, Rick.
You as well, my friend. There you go. All right. I was going to make some obligatory joke about, you know, disconnecting his phone tube or blah, 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 but there's something going
that,
on.
That was kind of like the Elian Gonzalez story of its time.
It really was. Well, you remember that, too, where it was just like it built and built and built, and then
boom,
we're done. You know, and then they just then moved on. The thing with the... Were we off the air when Terry Schiavo died, actually? No, I guess not, because
no.
It's, 'cause it was April.
Yeah.
Or that we went off, and this is, I guess, March. So it was like one of the last things we covered. Okay, so here's... I'm not going to dwell on this again, because it's like a year late, but that really is one of the reasons I got married, because I... You know, because I don't need some nutcase Christian somewhere deciding that they're going to, you know, keep me or anybody on a ventilator. Screw that. And you hear those, I'm probably an urban legend, but you hear about those people that actually get the living will, like, tattooed on their, like, do not resuscitate, like, tattooed on their sternum or something. So here's the thing. So you all are my witnesses on this. You kick that cord right out. I don't care what you have to do. I don't care if at any time they are using the words permanent and state and vegetative all in one sentence, you come up, I don't care who it is. Aaron, you know, let's see, who's in my email? Storm, the corpse, doesn't matter. Tim, Sarah, you come by, you yank that baby right on out of there. I don't care if I struggle. I don't care if I grab your wrist and go, no, at the last minute. Doesn't matter. You just feel, if you have to push your way past security guards, I don't know, if you have to use a pillow like Randall McMurphy style, doesn't matter. You come by, you take me out. And then you make it a snuff watch. Here's Tim Riley.
We'll just put you on the escalator in the gurney. Let's do the corpse watch.
Here's the thing. Thank you.
I'm digging up bones. I'm digging up bones. Exhuming things that's better left alone.
One would expect such a story to come out of Florida. But think of this thing. This is out of Texas. From Dallas. Officials in that city say the body of a 457-pound woman whose remains lay in a morgue for nearly 2 months will be cremated within the next few days.
What could possibly be left to cremate? It's like cremating a creme brulee.
Well, at issue was the cost of the cremation. You see, Charlotte Ann Blue.
Tell me they have to cremate her like one leg at a time.
Well, she died February 6th. But she wasn't immediately cremated because of the dispute between the Dallas County and its crematorium contractor. You see, the crematorium bills the county pays, usually $300 for bodies that weigh up to 300 pounds.
So they do like a Southwest Airlines style cremation where there is like a bracket, like up to but not including.
Well, in the case of Blue, the crematorium asked for an extra $157 or a dollar a pound. Well, when Blue's son found out, the county finally agreed to pay the extra fee and apologized to the family.
I've always wondered this, like when you have some relative die that you don't like, what if you just flat refuse to pay for anything? You know what I mean?
Aren't you buried in a pauper's grave?
I don't know, but is that like a thing? You always hear about that. Like, that's a thing they always mention in a prison film. You know, you're going to be buried in the potter's field out back. But there is no... I don't think there really is a potter's field. I don't think there's a... It's like there's no debtor's prison. It's like you hear about the poor... You're going to go in the poorhouse. There is no poorhouse. There's no house for the poor. I mean, there's an apartment building next to me, but it's not really the same thing. Bada bing. But the pauper's grave... It's like my grandmother. My grandmother died. I don't want to give a rat's ass about my grandmother. And even at the time, at like the age of 12, I was saying that we ought to. Because I remember, they paid for a whole, you know, like the casket and the whatever, and they just did it because it's like they figured they were obligated to do it. It's like, what if you just dig in and you're like, "Effer, we don't get toss her out of a truck. We don't care." Sometimes it doesn't matter to me. And this is another thing I'm giving you witness for. I don't want a funeral. I don't want any cost. Doesn't matter. Just just wrap me in some Mylar and, you know, stick me in the outgoing mail. Doesn't matter. I don't care what you do with it. And by the way, is it Ryan Philippi or Ryan Philippe?
Philippe?
I thought it was Philippe.
I don't know. I have nothing. I do have some email here. Apparently this is what a stunning impact he makes when he's on the screen. He was in Crash.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Was he Sandra Bullock's husband?
No, he was
Matt Dillon's partner. That's
mm-hmm.
right. Which no one believed because he looked like he was about 11. He's one of those guys he's one of those guys where it's going to be all Portrait of Dorian Gray, where he looks young, old, dead. That's it. He's going to be like Leonardo DiCaprio. Leonardo DiCaprio is going to be 80 by now. When's the last time you saw him and you didn't think he was like a teenager? Johnny Depp, same thing. It's impossible to take some actors seriously as adults, and Ryan Philippi is one of those guys. Rick, here we go. Ryan was a Crash, and he was pretty good. By the way, Lara is your Reese Witherspoon. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. It's all very new. Everybody's
confused. Did we close the corpse watch?
No, we don't. There's the corpse
I'm
watch.
Digging up bones, I'm digging up bones. Assuming things that's better left alone. I'm resurrecting memories of a love that's dead and gone. Here tonight I'm sitting alone, digging up bones.
Here's Tim Riley, the Citadel.
Tom Cruise is being sued by a stuntman for wrecking his love life. Special effects technician Scott Wheatley suffered third-degree burns to over 60% of his body on the set of Cruise's newest Mission Impossible 3 and said it left him incapable of performing his duties as a man. He insists he is in constant pain since the accident and had been standing near a pyrotechnics rig car waiting to shoot a scene when it suddenly exploded, engulfing him in flames. He insists he wasn't given a fireproof suit, and there weren't any fire extinguishers or fire crews nearby.
they just give him, like, an extra sport coat to wear. Here you go now, it's fine.
He and his wife, Mary, are claiming their negligence caused him severe personal injury.
Okay. All right. Let's move on.
Yes?
Didn't Tom Cruise say that he did all of his own stunts? Wasn't that the big
Except
deal?
For that one.
How could he do all of it? He's a dwarf.
No, that's what he was saying, though. He's making this huge deal about how he had done all... Everyone needs to go see Mission Impossible 3 because he did all the stunts.
You know how he lies.
He's a liar.
I'm just
going
to say, like, you believe anything that guy says? No, I'm not brainwashed. I mean, everything he says is crazy and wrong. I've got another story here. Hold on. See, I was going to save it till later when I get to the news pile, but I've got more... It's Cruise news you can use. That's a lie. You can't really use it. Wait, hold on. Hygiene gone wrong. Mm. Dick Cheney's sweet demands.
I still need to hear the Whitney Houston story.
Oh, you
too.
Never? Did we never? Oh, you were gone. That's right. You weren't here.
And then we were off the air. Yeah.
Oh, that's another. That's another story we got to tell. Where did I put that Cruise story?
Well, we can sit here and wait.
White jeans are apparently back in. Just reading. Oh, here we go. There we go. I'm just reading what MSNBC says.
Oh, MSNBC
they've
says
got Tucker,
white jeans.
They've got
in,
Tucker
so.
Carlson. They know what they're... Isn't that MSNBC?
I believe so, yes.
They know what they're talking about.
I don't know what else
about.
Is on there.
No, no one does. Did you see how that Eisner show got a 0.0?
Oh, yeah.
Was that on CNBC?
CNBC, yes.
The CNBC is sort of like... You know there's that junk drawer in your kitchen? It's like right underneath the microwave, and you open it, and like you look in there, and it's like old keys. You don't know what they go to. Tic Tacs.
Rubber bands,
batteries, maybe they're good, maybe they're not. Bunch of checkbooks with one check and a lot of carbons. That's what CNBC is. You where are we going to put this Eisner show? I don't know. Put it on CNBC. And you just ram it in and shut the door, slamming the door harder every time to keep all of the bad programming in there, you know? And you put it inside, we got to make room for this John McEnroe show. Yeah! You know, let me move this Donnie Deutsch show to the side. Yeah! Here we go. Eisner, wham! Mr. Eisner, 0.0. All right. Mission Impossible, staying mom in childbirth, says David Braithwaite. Well, some names just scream British, don't they? Some names just scream, I've got a huge stick in my butt. David Braithwaite. Take note, Tom and Katie. Sydney Scientologist Vicky Dunstan kept mom, get it? For 16 hours of labor, but she's
get through the story.
Listen to this goddamn writing. She kept mom for 16 hours of labor, but she's at pains to say it was her choice. Reports claim Scientology recruit Katie Holmes will be forced to stay silent and refuse drugs during the birth of her baby with Tom Cruise. The Sun tabloid claims Cruise has not only given Holmes an iPod to help her stay silent during the birth. How will an iPod, unless you're jamming it into her mouth, Here, keep quiet. Well, but it's put up a 2-metre-high poster in their Beverly Hills mansion reminding her not to make noise and to use the side entrance with the other help. Hippie's coming back. Tom gave Katie an iPod loaded with 300 of her favorite songs, the source is reported to have said. He wants her to listen to calming music, but to use earphones so there's no noise in the delivery room.
What a jerk.
I am the most insane man on earth. Sydney Scientologists deny there are rules about silence or drugs, saying it's all up to the mother. And Isaac Hayes is up and fine and doing well. What they're saying is terrible. There's no rule for... What they're saying is terrible. There is no rule from the church at all, Sydney Church of Scientology Public Affairs Director Virginia Stewart said. Silent births are encouraged by the group's literature, she said. When people are in a subconscious state or pain, things are recorded in a reactive mind, so pain and stress are stored there. All glory to the hypno-toad.
So is their literature just that science fiction book?
I don't know. I guess that all depends on one's viewpoint.
Oh.
You talking about... Which book are you talking about?
I don't know.
The good book?
Sister, it's all science fiction. blah, 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 hardly a peep. Blah, 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 Paddington. Isn't he a bear? Blah, 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 my friend had a baby. Howling. Blah, 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 screaming and screaming. Blah, 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 moaned. Blah, 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 contraction. Blah, 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 healthy and happy. Blah, 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 asthmatic. Blah, 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 not a cult. All right, there you go.
That was informative.
Yes.
It's 503-733-2970. So behind. Okay, I'm going to throw it to Tim here in a second for more City Desk.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you. So here's what's coming up. What am I talking about?
I don't know.
No one knows. We still got to address. Okay. Here's what we're going to do. I want somebody responsible to call the show right now. And when I say responsible, I don't mean responsible for the death of someone. Responsible for... I want someone who is mature and responsible. If you're a woman and a clerical person, Kristen's actually busy. She's got actual work. But if you are a responsible person right now, if you are a left-brained person, I want you to call right now. I'm going to appoint right now someone to keep us on track for the rest of the show. It's 503-733-2970. Is this somebody who's responsible?
Yes.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
It's Rob, and I'm so not responsible.
The hell are you...
I was calling in about Tom Cruise.
Okay.
All right, this ass had every woman in the world falling all over themselves for him, all right?
Yes.
And now he says this, and they still love him. If I tried to tell my wife to be quiet during labor, she would have punched my teeth down my throat.
I dispute that all women still love Tom Cruise. Sarah, did you have a crush on Tom Cruise at one point?
No, never.
Well, never? You but never did? Well, he's not your type, though.
Yeah.
There is on the fringes of society, anyway.
Yeah, he's not really your type. He's a little too
good looking.
He's a little too law abiding for you.
I just don't understand how a guy that had it all, and I don't know why people put up with it.
And again, it's like he had it all, but it all went bad within like 6 weeks.
It's kind of crazy because like if Oprah came out and said we should club all men, women would love him more. Women would love her more.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's like I went to bed and Tom Cruise was fine, and I woke up the next day and the whole world hated him.
Oh, he's jumping on couches. He'll sue anybody that says he might play for his own team. You know. The guy's got some serious problems.
Gentry Fultz is in the closet. So I get him a gun. All right, there you go. Thank you, Rob. All right, there you go. Thank you. All right, so we're looking for someone to keep us on track.
I can try to keep us on track, Rick.
You can't keep us on track.
I can, too. I do it every day.
Okay, we're hereby on track.
I'm sorry. I didn't have the rim shot.
Do I need to break your finger?
I'm saying I don't know that we stay on track. That's all I'm saying. It's the only observation I make. So I thought maybe external help. We put out the call and we said, you know, we need...
Oh, this is the program director talk.
No, I'm...
We need to get help from external sources.
All I'm saying is that it's like 55 minutes into the show. We have not even talked about why we were off the air for an hour yesterday. We haven't talked about you going to a Black Eyed Peas party, which does sound like some sort of sexual... Would you like to come to a Black Eyed Pea party?
It was a 1P.
See, this sounds like a thing where you got to cover the room in Visqueen first. And so you went to some other thing. We've got this sport fight guy who... See, we're talking about sport fight. We got that city versus suburbs thing, which is coming up next Saturday. And one of the guys bailed out like a sissy.
Well, why don't we get through the news hour, and then we can talk about all that coming up.
All right. Hold on. Let's see who this is. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Derek.
Hi, Derek. Are you responsible?
I am fairly responsible.
All right. What do you do for a living?
I am a delivery driver.
Hmm.
What does he deliver?
What do you deliver?
Copy.
Okay. No, I... Okay. Well, hold on just a second. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah, people would know if he wasn't responsible.
All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Bruce. Did you need me back? You need my service?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is our former godlike program director, Bruce Agler.
Apparently you are in need here of a...
All I'm saying is that, you know, I believe the wisest man is he who knows what he does not know. And I am aware sometimes that this show can go a little far afield.
You think?
Of where it needs to be. I'm just saying. So I, you know, so yes, we may in fact be contacting you to keep us on track. So, all right.
So when are we going to hear about why the station was off the air? I'm dying to hear this.
Well, see, now it's become a...
Maybe we should do that now.
Should we do that now?
Yes.
All right, we're going to do that right now.
Thank you.
That way we can check it off the list.
All right. So, all right, that I'm going to... there you go. Hey, that's Bruce. All right, so here's the thing. So yesterday, that was Bruce Agler, by the way, a former godlike program director. The man who once took a raw clump of radio clay and fashioned it into the towering pinnacle of inanity that you hear before you. All right, so yesterday, and we're sitting here, we're doing our show. What is it, 2:35? We're doing our show yesterday, 2:35. We're going along. We're doing what? What did we do? We were doing some news. We were talking about something. I forget what we were talking about when it happened.
We were talking about flashing lights going off and laughing.
Well,
because we thought that they were up the air and there were people.
Smokey was still talking.
We were doing
flailing their arms.
We were talking about something or other specifically. We were reading a news story, or I was talking about Whitney Houston. Anyway, and so we see this light start to go off in the other room, and first we thought it was a smoke alarm. And we see this flashing light, and you're like, is there a fire? Do you smell smoke? I don't smell anything. Nothing. And so we look over, and we are sandwiched between K-Hits and Couple. And one of which is an adult contemporary oldies, like an oldies station. I don't know what K-Hits is. It's like 70s music. And it's a great station. I don't even know what that format. I haven't worked in music radio in so long.
Yeah, like oldies.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. And if you turn on now, it's probably the Bee Gees. So, and then Couple, which is, you know, our sister station, Couple Country 98.7, fine station. Anyway, so we see this flashing light go off, and we look over, hey, wait, no, I think it's Couple. Because our window looks right in on this guy, Smokey, who was over there.
Yeah.
And we're like, wait, I think they're off the air. Look. No, he doesn't know it. Look, he's talking on the air. And so we're watching, and this is what you would have heard us saying yesterday. We're sitting here going, hey, look at Smokey. Hey, everybody, our sister station Couple is off the air, and hey, look, their DJ Smokey is talking.
But he doesn't know.
What a fool. What a maroon. He's talking. He thinks he's still on the air. Tool. You know, he's running around now, flailing his arms. He just realized they're off the air. Oh, look at him run. Oh, it's hilarious. Of course, the entire time, we're off the air.
The door is creaks open.
We have no idea. We went on for like 12 minutes yesterday, talking, doing a show to no one. No one heard it. Not a single person heard that yesterday. Finally, the door opens. The engineer comes and goes, yeah, you've been off the air for 20 minutes. Wham! Leaves.
We're off the air for 20 minutes?
We were off the air we realized it at about 47.
Yeah.
And we went off the air at like 30. So, I mean, it's like a good 17 minutes
that
or so.
That was radio gold.
Yeah.
It's like the director's cut that'll never be seen.
Seriously, and it's like, this footage, it's like the spider pit footage from King Kong. It's lost somewhere. They'll never find it. It was genius, too. It was genius radio. No,
what was the cause of it?
There was some, I don't know, it was like some drunk guy hit a pole or something.
Oh, is that it?
There was something up on civil, because all of the radio stations in the building, K-Hits went off, we went off, KUFO went off, a couple went off, all of the CBS radio stations, I think even Kink. Who kind of exist on their own planet. I think everybody went off the air. And so we came back with literally like 60 seconds left. We came back yesterday with like 60 seconds left. And of course, the funny thing is, by funny, I mean horrifying, that everybody in the audience immediately assumed that we'd just been fired. Like in the listener's mind, and God bless him, it's like that they're, you know, they're so traumatized and all of that. But everybody in the audience assumes that that's how the firing will happen. They all assume that, which is not too far afield from the truth. They all assume that corporate will just come in and yank out the transmitter when it's time for us to go.
Well, probably won't be mid-show, though.
Yeah, they wouldn't do that. Nobody would ever change formats mid-show.
They'll hand you a Proud Mary CD and say, play this.
It's not like Don and Mike just went to a commercial break at 2 o'clock on April 21st and never came back with no warning.
2:22.
No radio company would ever just change formats in the middle of a show. That would be retarded. All right, so we've got... So, we get this. Subject line. Sweet God, oh God, no. And then this woman, Susan, says, I think you've just been fired again. Like, I wouldn't know. Well, I might not.
You might not be told for a few hours.
Rick, why the hell are you playing Proud Mary? You're an a-hole, but I still love you. Love the show. Please don't be fired. Please, please. There we go. Rick, see what happens when you talk about Sarah's underwear tag showing. The engineers can't concentrate on their work, and CBS radio goes off the air. Behold the power of Sarah and her panties. Behold the power of Sarah's panties. Behold it indeed.
You don't need to keep saying that.
Panties.
I hate that word.
So do I. It's like moist. It's an unpleasant word.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, so that's what happened yesterday. So we were off the air for like a good, like, I don't know. And then we went off, and then we came back for like 5 minutes, and then we were off the air again during Lycus for like 20. So we were off the air for almost a whole hour yesterday. And there you go.
Way to go, program director.
Wasn't my fault. I had nothing to do with it. Me and all the other program directors sitting in the hallway going, so, wonder how much money we've lost. You know, just totally sitting there, nothing I can do about it.
But we don't have the flashing Kmart light like the other studios.
Well, that's the thing is they haven't even equipped us with a light to tell us. Like, we could have been off. Someone in engineering told me that once this station, Johnson 970, told me that once this station was off the air for 2 days and no one realized it. The station went off the air. The station, this is what he told me, this station once went off the air at like 10 o'clock on a Friday night, and no one realized it until like Sunday at like 8 p.m. That was almost 48 hours. No one realized this station was off the air.
Oh.
So
that was back in the old days.
Yes,
though.
Not now.
That was before we came.
Before we brought all this heat to the station. Before the spotlight of Portland was on us. So, anyway, so that's what happened with that. Well, okay.
Now we're up to date on that one.
Okay, we should break. We'll come back. We'll talk about... here's what we're going to do. We'll come back. We're going to talk about Sarah going to the Black Eyed Pea party last night. I just want to say pea party. Sarah going to a pea party.
Black Eyed Pea Party.
Sounds like a Craigslist posting. Looking for someone to accompany to meet a Black Eyed Pea party. Looking for GFE. All right. Good. All right. So, you know, we're going to do this. We're going to come back. 503-733-2970. You stay there. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. The Rick Emerson Show continues. We'll also have Gary Baumgarten coming your way, and we'll talk about Sport Fight and City versus Suburbs and which one of those places generated a response who later sissied out on us. You stay there. Back out of this.